The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Thank you for downloading the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dan, and you find me today in the august surroundings of the fourth floor of what we now call Old Broadcasting House. I'm with Gwyneth Williams, who is the controller of Radio 4. And Gwen, you've nearly done this job for 5 years.
Shocking, isn't it?
It's extraordinary. It seems like 5 minutes.
Yes, it does seem like that. But it's just the most extraordinary network. And I guess I measure up my life in commissioning rounds now. I'm in the middle of one at the moment, and the level and quality of ideas is quite mind-blowing, actually. But really, you never, ever have such a brilliant take of how thinking is, what the trends are across Britain. I mean, last year we had quite a lot of programmes about death, ironically, and this year we've got a lot of takes about being gay and about the politics of homosexuality and how things are. I think because the 67 Act is beginning to come up for a big anniversary, and we've also got some tremendously interesting ideas around big themes, like we're coming up to the Russian Revolution, we're thinking about the Cold War, we're thinking about all sorts of things. And the other thing is the mix across the genres. So people are coming up this time with a lot of ideas which are more creative, I think, and more interesting across disciplines. So it's a brilliant way of just what's going on in Britain. And I just get a take. By the end of this round, I feel I understand something. It's not very easy to express it, well, but I've got a sense of it.
Well, the thing that's really interesting, I think, to people who are not part of that Radio 4 commissioning cycle is here you are talking about 2017. Last night, as we're having this discussion, you were launching your autumn schedules for 2015. You're always thinking about different years, because you must also often, as a controller, be thinking about this afternoon, today.
Yeah, completely. And that's the thing, really, is to try and... Well, we have a weekly commissioning meeting. And at that meeting, I try and think to myself, have we got the story of Radio 4 right this week? Is it right next week? Is that what we should be doing across all the subject areas? And what are the special things happening? Have we highlighted the right ones? Are we missing something? Because, you know, we keep quite a bit of the network back for reactive thoughts and offers. And we can always throw something away and do it.
And as the controller, Gwen, can you do all that? Because obviously you don't run the news programmes, which are the sort of, some people would call them the kind of flagships of Radio 4. You don't run Today in the World of One, do you? Because that's run by news. Do you have any influence on them?
Oh, yes, in the sense that they're part of Radio 4. So, for example, I've been speaking to Jamie from the Today programme and Nick Sutton on World at One, and also Roger from The World Tonight and Joe from PM. I've been speaking to them all this week about Greece and, you know, who's going to be there. We're doing the right kind of thing. When the really big things come and during the election, it was very much we'd all get together and we'd talk about the kinds of things that the sequences were doing. We'd suggest things. And, you know, I talk to James Harding a lot. So it's very much, I mean, I feel that the network is, it's a creative whole. It's organic. And it has to all take shape together across the news, current affairs, drama. It flows from one to the other. And it's got to meet in that way. And the thing with Radio 4 is to try and make those connections evident to the audience sometimes.
How much Radio 4 do you get to listen to? Isn't that one of the real problems with being a controller? That the channel's on 24/7, and of course you've got Radio 4 Extra as well, but you're always in meetings. You're always, as you say, discussing next year or 2 years hence. How much of the network can you actually sit back and enjoy?
I'm not always in meetings. I'm very, very careful that I don't go to too many meetings. Listening is one of the most key and important things. For instance, I was listening to Stephen Fry on Desert Island Discs. It's an obvious thing for me to listen to, but when I hear it and the programme actually moves you in the way it does a listener, you have a different sense of the network, and if you lose that, you've really had it. So listening is absolutely key, and I dip in and out whenever I can in the day, and then I catch up because, of course, it's wonderful. You can now, and more people are going to be listening like that. They already are. So it's a difficult thing to describe how it works. It's a bit like trying to describe how you pick what you like to read, you know. I was in a bit of a panic with a shift to Kindle because I thought the problem with this is I'm going to have to work out what I read and how I choose what I read. And it's not scientific. It's a feel for it. And if you've just got to stay in touch with it in a sort of visceral way, and then it's fine.
I was thinking on my way to see you what highlights I would pick from your time here. And I thought, well, War and Peace, the all-day War and Peace, the Bloomsday, I thought Grace and Perry. I thought probably the best interview while you've been here was John Humphreys and George Entwistle. Would you pick out any of those, or would there be other highlights that would just come to your brain?
Those are, of course, pretty significant moments. Yeah, there's so many things. I mean, even just individual docs that you hear that you love. But I think maybe the science story is one I'm pleased with.
Because you made a thing, didn't you, about saying we do a lot of arts and a lot of history, but we don't do enough science. And you have brought more science onto the network.
Yeah, it's not even so much bringing more science on. It's a question of making science part of the general discussion, the warp and weft of the network. Because what happens is that the arts is part of the way we think and talk all the time. And science felt as if it was outside that conversation a bit. So we have plenty of good science, but what we've tried to do, what I've tried to do really more, is have scientists presenting programmes. Because before, a lot of it was mediated. So science was mediated by arts people who could understand science and translate it, you see. Much in the way that we do art, we tend to do art a bit like that. So I've tried to bring in more direct experience. So with science, we've put a 9 o'clock programme with Jim Al-Khalili, which immediately makes people think about science. You know, I told you, I think, people said, oh, this is going to be really boring. How can you get scientists to talk interestingly about their lives?
Life-sopperific, it was.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. But basically, it's really taken off. People love it. And half Jim's guests are women. You know, people said, you'll never find scientists. Nonsense. There's hundreds of them. And there's all these women who are just so articulate and inspiring. And it's about how scientists work. It's not the same as arts graduates. Their work, it's a process of scepticism and testing and having an idea and trying it out. It's just they think differently. So I wanted that conversation to be part of Radio 4. I think it is more now, and that's great. The other thing, I wanted to bring in hot art, really, so that there was a sense of not just critique and analysis, which we're really good at Radio 4, but so that we could actually have an experience, because it's the line of the poem, you remember, isn't it? And it's the actual experience of something that really hits you. And so we did an Art Angel Radio 4 commission. So Art Angel is this fantastic contemporary arts organisation. And we sent out for an open arts offer. Young artists, or any artists, come in, give us something. Radio 4 and Art Angel are pitching together. So it's coming in now. This was a couple of years ago. It's coming in. So we've had Katrina Palmer's extraordinary sculptor thing, which turned into quite a lot of late-night hot sex on Radio 4. But it's very, very interesting and beautifully told story of Portland with the Portland stone, you know, the broadcasting house is made of, and it's the strange place, Portland. And then we've got the young filmmaker Ben Rivers coming in now. So it's things like that that are unexpected on Radio 4 and just add an element, I think.
Now, there are people who say that the most creative radio or audio, whatever we're going to call it, is now happening online. People point to Radio Lab and to 99% Invisible and some of those big American blockbuster podcasts. Do you think that, in terms of speech radio, I think I know the answer to this. Do you think the BBC has kept up with some of that thinking?
I think we can always learn. And I think we have to learn. And I think, in a way, some of the things we do will be as good, and some of the things we do will be better in certain areas. But there's something really wonderful about a story told in this completely focused way on one small part. And that's really what's hard to do, because we're so big. So sometimes it's very nice to focus in on a small area, think about it, and just learn from what others are doing. And so I would say that working with people is a really good thing to do in Radio 4 and for people who work for Radio 4. We need to listen to each other and learn a lot.
I wasn't right then. I didn't guess your answer because I thought you were going to say, no, the BBC is absolutely brilliant at this stuff. And that's one of the reasons I think you're a very good controller of Radio 4, because you don't do a lot of showing off. And, you know, in the past, there's been a sense of this is the greatest network in the history of the world. And it's good to you being a bit more modest about it.
Well, I think, you know, look, it is an extraordinary, it is a unique thing, Radio 4. But we've got the tradition and the history at our heart. That means you have to be very open about the present and the future. And you can be with confidence if you can feel relaxed about your and confident about what's motivating you. And I think, yes, we need to learn. And, you know, we aren't always the quickest. And in the digital world, we can't rest on our laurels. I mean, I think we will play a big part in it. I think we are now. And I think it's a terrifically exciting challenge for us.
So this week's big announcement, the reception, the event that the DG, Tony Hall, spoke at and you spoke at, there was quite a lot of talk about how Radio 4 needed to be protected, that we shouldn't take it for granted. Is there a feeling within the BBC that, whether it's John Whittingdale personally or this government generally, or it's just the whole process of charter renewal, is there a sense that you have got to get out there and shout a bit more about Radio 4?
Well, it's certainly not John Whittingdale personally. He's a highly intelligent man, you know, who anybody would be pleased to have a conversation with and work with. I think it's... No, I... Look, people who listen to Radio 4, and our audience goes up, and Radio 4 Extra, our audience has gone up a lot, and lots of young people coming in. I'm ever so proud of the fact that a quarter of Radio 4 is solidly next generation. And on Radio 4 Extra, the new figures have... There's a lot of indication that younger people are coming in.
And the experts didn't see that coming, did they?
No, it's really exciting. But I think it's a good thing to point out that Radio 4 is part of the BBC story. And, you know, it is connected with the BBC. The reason we've got it is because we can draw on the best talent around the BBC to help us make it as rich as it is, really. So I think it's fair enough to remind people that Radio 4 is part of the BBC. And if you want Radio 4, you know, it's part of the BBC.
So you don't feel particularly vulnerable?
No, certainly don't feel particularly vulnerable, but always feel that you have to earn every next programme, you know, and you have to be the best, and you've got to stay fleet of foot, open-minded, and really comfortable in the modern era. I think we are because of our content and because of our audience.
Now, the controller of Radio 1 was on Radio 4 this morning, as we're having this conversation, talking about Beats 1, the launch of the new Apple radio station. And he, when asked about the challenge facing radio and young listeners, talked, as he usually does, about almost anything but radio. He talked about YouTube channels and social networking and all that kind of modern stuff. I wonder to what extent you feel that Radio 4 is under pressure to embrace more of that, or to what extent you can simply stay as you are and wait for people to grow into you.
Oh, we can't stay and wait for people to grow into us. But what I do think is that it's just different ways of getting our brilliant content to people. I think that the radio is a wonderful thing. And, you know, I've listened to it all over Africa, and there's wind-up radios, and you can cluster around in little towns and listen to election results in the middle of nowhere. It's a wonderful, life-saving thing. And that's to say nothing of the radio here. And I believe Radio 4 is global now. Of course it is. And so I think the radio itself has got a pretty assured future. I'm not nervous about Radio 4 and the Radio 4 listener declining massively. I think the content we've got will ensure that we're safe in that sense for some years. But we'd be mad not to really get our stuff out through the digital world and to explore the digital world, because we've got a really smart audience and they use it. Everybody is comfortable in that sort of territory, and Radio 4's at home in it because it's knowledge, understanding, you know, science shares its papers around the world. Radio 4's competitors, if you like, or colleagues or partners, are book clubs, theatre groups, university lectures, arts organisations, museums. That's our métier in which we move, and that's where our audience is. We've got to be in that space as well, and it's great.
Just while I was waiting for you a few minutes ago, I got a sense that there aren't as many people here as there used to be, and you have had some quite high-profile casualties, haven't you, in the whole DQF procedure. Is everybody simply working harder than they used to, or did you actually have a few too many people?
I think we really are pretty... We're all working pretty hard. I think it's quite difficult, but we're doing it. We're delivering the network the way it is.
You have to share lots of backroom staff now with Radio 3, don't you? Does that affect you?
Well, yes, in the sense that there's fewer of us, you know, it's very hard work. But this is new, it's early days, and we've got to make it work. We've tried really hard to protect the listener from these cuts. We've had to take our share along with the rest of the BBC. It's only fair, really. But I wouldn't say it's easy.
You sound optimistic, which I guess is a good thing.
Oh, I'm so optimistic about the... I mean, you couldn't not be. I'm in the middle of a commissioning round. The ideas I'm getting in are fantastic, imaginative, creative, deep, considered, and across the board, all the subject areas, which is the fun thing because they rub up against each other, which is why I think Radio 4 is so modern, because it isn't genre-specific. It goes from one subject to the other, and that's where the interesting things are, in the gaps.
So just one final thing, because my colleagues, full disclosure, are under Secretary of Rig, they would want me to ask you this. What difference do you think it's going to make to you and to the network that Tony Hall and now Helen Bowden have embraced this compete and compare strategy? What's it going to actually mean to you?
Well, I think in principle it's a very positive thing in that there'll be more competition. And, we're very open. In a way, in Radio 4, we already compete a lot of things. We look for and take the best ideas. And so what this will mean is that we'll be able to do that on a broader basis. I mean, I'm sure that, in-house is brilliant. There's some excellent independent producers and some very good in-house producers. It'll be more of an open competition without quotas in the future. And, if it's signed off by the executive and by the trust, which it hasn't been yet, but if it does, then Radio 4's next commissioning round begins to look rather different.
Gwyneth Williams, controller of Radio 4 and Radio 4 Extra, thank you very much for talking to Radio Today. I think we'll have some news now. Here's Roy Martin.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Beats One, Always On, Worldwide, has officially launched on Apple Music. The radio station started on June 30th with Zane Lowe's first radio show since leaving BBC Radio 1. The station is free but only available via Apple products or the upcoming Android app. Ofcom has found 38 community radio stations in breach of their key commitments. Most of them are for not providing enough local content. As a result, the regulator says they would like to look at ways community radio is governed in the future. And the Radio Festival returns on September 29th in London. There'll also be a tech con and John Peel lecture, but you won't need to visit Media City UK to do it this year. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
This week in 86, a poignant farewell after the radio victory licence for Portsmouth wasn't renewed.
The time is 11:59. Radio Victory has approximately 1.5 minutes left to live. And when you hear the chimes coming from the Portsmouth Guildhall clock, the time will be 12 midday.
The last moments of Victory, paving the way for the new licensee for the South Coast.
Radio Victory has decided to cease broadcasting in advance of the expiry date of its local radio franchise. From mid-October, the independent local radio service for Portsmouth and Southampton will be provided by a new company, Ocean Sound.
The 40th anniversary celebrations for commercial radio continue, and this week, it's Nottingham. Radio
Trent. Billy Paul, July, July, July. I'll go along with that. Good morning, sleepyheads. How are you this morning? Weather today, continuing mainly dry, sunny period, becoming warm this afternoon. Temperatures nearing 24 degrees centigrade, 75 degrees Fahrenheit. Now that's nice, that really is.
I can take you through the day on Radio Trent, but it's important to realise that our music policy, in fact our programming policy, doesn't vary all that much from one point of the day to another. We are a radio station, we're not a series of separate programmes happening to go out on the same wavelength. So people, certainly through the day, tend to do the same kind of things.
Radio Trent's first programme controller, Bob Snyder, at the start of that station 40 years ago this week. It's now part of Capital East Midlands. But commercial radio very nearly didn't happen at all anywhere. This week in 1962, the Pilkington Report was published. I have a copy here. And it says that Britain's third national TV channel should be awarded to the BBC, of course. And the BBC should also have local radio. So we didn't have to bother with any commercial radio either. 1994 now, and Radio 1 is closing down its AM transmitters and becoming 1FM.
All Radio 1 programmes on AM 1053 and 1089 now revert to FM. Please adjust your sets, OK? Adjust your sets right now. That's all Radio 1 programmes on AM 1053 and 1089 will now revert permanently to FM between 97 and 99. Please adjust your sets.
21 years ago this week, and Radio 1 says farewell to the waveband on which it built its reputation. This week in 1968 saw the arrival of BBC Radio Durham, part of the plan for 9 local radio experiments, but that station only lasted 4 years.
And don't forget to tune into the Radio Durham Garden Party this afternoon at 2:30 for the formal opening of the station by the Secretary of State for Education, the Right Honourable Edward Short.
Radio Durham launching this week in 1968. It was the 8th station to come on air. What a great theme tune this is, isn't it? Dum-de-dum. Great stuff. Come on, Ted, you're on.
My view, and that of the government, if local radio is not to be truly local and is not making a contribution to the local community life, it isn't worth doing.
Ted Short. But when the government restricted the BBC to 20 local radio stations in 72, the corporation closed Durham and transferred that operation to Radio Cumbria. Talking of great theme tunes, Radio 4 got a great new SIG this week 42 years ago. It was called the Skipping Theme. The Skipping Theme, which started the day on Radio 4 from this week in 1973. It lasted 5 years before the UK theme arrived, which was also by the same arranger, and that chap was also behind this too. He ought to put a little snippet of that in the UK theme, shouldn't he, quite frankly? Manx Radio was the first licensed commercial station on the British Isles. It launched this week in 1964.
Paul Burnett for the Top of the Morning show this morning. This is Manx Radio. And hi there, a very good morning indeed from yours truly, Peter Neal. Welcome to Sunday Morning Suntime. The time on the chime, it's 11 o'clock.
It happened in the Isle of Man because we, that is to say my stepfather Dick Mayer and myself, together with others, decided that we wanted to do a demonstration of what proper local, British local radio could sound like.
John Grierson speaking to me there from Manx Radio, which launched from a caravan this week 41 years ago. So, with the resignation of John Reith 77 years ago...
And I myself broadcast those from my ordinary telephone.
Sing Something Simple, beginning on the Light programme 56 years ago. Sing Something Simple. Ed Stewart's final Radio 2 afternoon show 16 years ago.
I don't Thank you.
Capital Disney closing 8 years ago.
Just as you're growing up and making new friends, starting at new schools, colleges and universities, so are we.
Radio Luxembourg moving to its famous 208 wavelength 64 years ago.
This is Radio Luxembourg on our new frequency, 208 metres on the medium wave band.
Chris Evans dismissed by Virgin 14 years ago.
I think Virgin Radio is probably the jewel in the crown of all of it. It has to be.
Woman's Hour moving to Radio 4 42 years ago after 27 years on the Light programme and Radio 2.
We wanted to get people onto the programmes, not just professors and people who could read a good script.
And the end of Needle Time. Of Needle Time. Of Needle Time. Of Needle Time. Of 25 needle time. Years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thanks very much, David Lloyd. Cool new jingle. I'll see you for the celebration of 40 years of commercial radio in Nottingham this weekend. Thanks also this week to Gwyneth Williams, controller of Radio 4 and 4 Extra. Gwyn doesn't give a lot of interviews, so we were delighted to have her on the Radio Today programme. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.